WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively at the land of Kush. We're kind of situated Utah and Martin Luther King, a couple blocks from the Meyer off, a little bit from the University of Baltimore, my alma mater. I actually found my diploma in the glass. I don't know. I'll put it back on the wall at some point like a dentist. The Roofing Garage is here. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. Window Nation gave me a great visor. They know I like visors. This is going to get worn a lot, even though my hair is growing out. So listen, you recommended this place, and I had Brooke Learman on, and she recommended this place. I had Odette Ramos lined up. We're going to get her a little later on. Everyone has recommended this place. You're legit, though. You are the vegetarian, right?
Not I vegan? Am. No, not vegan.
When's the last time you had a piece of meat of any kind?
I was a voracious meat eater growing up. When I was in high school, nobody believes this. I was a very serious athlete. My team still doesn't believe me. I've challenged
them
everything.
I still don't believe it either, but I'm not going to go play tennis with them.
Of you to any sport right now.
I think you kick my ass at tennis. That's what I think.
Basketball, football, you pick it.
All right, let's go. All right.
But back then, I would eat two cheesesteak subs, two orders of French fries, and two chocolate milks every day for lunch. Every day. And
Baltimore County Public School lunch at Woodlawn?
Yeah, Woodlawn.
I know exactly the bread you're talking about.
Yeah, it was
I know the cheese.
It was microwaved, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Two of those, that's exactly what I had.
The French fries were good,
They were great.
They were
the chocolate milk was great. All of it was great.
Yes.
So when I finally became vegetarian, it was very hard. It was very hard because I had not developed a palate. I'm a vegetarian who doesn't like vegetables.
Did you become this way because of animals, because of diet, because of your health? Or
combination.
Did it gross you out? What happened?
No,
did you have a moment?
No, I had a moment. Ethics, religion, faith, all of it put together.
By the way, dude, I was in Oakland, California the other day, and I woke up there, and I was looking for some food. I wound up getting this Japanese chicken, because I search out places like Land of Kush when I'm on the road, right? And I passed a place, Sri Lankan.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I saw it, and I thought of you. I was good. I almost took a picture, and I was going to text it to you.
And most Sri Lankans are not vegetarian. There's a lot of meat, a lot of fish in those dishes. So it's not like that I grew up that way.
So your parents weren't appalled by wanting cheese?
No. They still eat meat.
Okay, fair enough.
But so when you find a place like Land of Kush that makes vegetarian, and in this case, vegan food as good as it does, you want to recommend it?
I think you were the first one to tell me about here. And someone recommended Gertrude's as well, vegan. And can I get a fork? Because I don't want to eat this with my hands.
I'm
from Dundalk, but they let me out.
Are you not supposed to eat it? Are you not supposed to eat this with your hands?
I don't know. I'm touching buttons and stuff.
Okay.
So they gave me yum sauce. Can I get some fresh tartar too? I want to get a fresh tartar.
You want this? I think this is fresh.
That's a fresh one. Okay. Send that over. So I haven't had the tartar yet. Okay. So you've been recommending this as long as I've known you, a couple of years.
Yep.
But I started the crab cake tour, and you're like, they got a vegan crab cake, man. It's award winning. It's fantastic. And I figured at some point we would sit in here and eat it. Now I had the yum yum sauce, which I thought was fantastic. I give that a 9.5 on any scale, and it was very spicy in the end. It kind of came and got me late, which I like it that way. I don't like if I want to taste the first thing and I get it like a second hit. But this looks like it has dill in it. I don't know what else. I'm going to find out what's in the in this tartar. I don't like most tartar sauces.
Oh, this is a live reaction. He hasn't had this before?
No.
Oh, wow.
This tastes like a crab cake.
It's good, right? It's incredible.
I said to her, and this is like the biggest compliment I can pay. Being from Dundalk, we grew up poor, and we had crappy meat. So we didn't have jumbo lump or anything. My mom fried them like hockey pucks. It looked just like this. We ate the heck out of them, and she'd make salmon cakes as well. And I tell that story all the time, but what's gotten different and gotten Gucci about all this is people making sauces.
Yeah.
Remoulades. This is a yum-yum, kind of like a remoulade. This is a tartar that... This doesn't taste like it came out. This doesn't taste like the tartar sauce that came with the fish sticks at Woodlawn High School, right? They came out a little packet.
I will tell you, I think the biggest compliment to places like this is when former meat eaters or current meat eaters say it tastes delicious. Because there's a lot of vegetarians that have never tasted.
They got mac and cheese over there. They got collards. They got all the stuff that I love, right? So I don't know that I would come in here and get a vegan crab cake. I think I'd come in here and get anything. I would not have tried it had you not made
and
me.
And a lot of places try it, and I think the crab cake is the hardest thing to pull off. And this might be the only place I know that's pulled off a vegan crab cake. It's very impressive.
It really is impressive. I mean,
have you guys all had it?
Heads up on this. If you come get it, just to try it as a, you know, when you drank Tab, you don't know because you're young, but when you drank Tab or you get something that is fat-free or whatever, it's never the same, you know? So this isn't the same, but this is fantastic. There's nothing about this. You turn your nose up and say, like drinking Tab, you know?
Right.
You remember Tab, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to pick on the Tab people, but it just didn't taste right. All right, let's get back onto the scene.
Yeah.
Because when I start to eat and I talk, I spit, it's terrible. Crime and people coming out of jail who should not be allowed out of jail and committing another crime, and you hear they've been out of jail, they're probation, all of this stuff. How does that change? And I've talked to Larry Hogan about this, and he does more ducking than, you know. Being on this, this is going to happen again. You're going to win or you're going to lose. Someone else is going to sit in that chair. There's going to be a murder. And we're going to hear of this. And we're going to say, oh, how can we not fix that? Why are we letting people out of jail who have not earned the right to be out of jail? Yep.
And I want to be very clear. Because when people say, oh, Theroux, you claim you can solve the murder problem, what I mean is not that we're going to get murders from 300 plus to zero tomorrow. But I am convinced, and I'm looking right at the camera, that you can get murders from over 300 to below 200 in short order. In 2 or 3 years, you can make dramatic impact on that. Now, to get murders from 200 to 100, that could take another 5 to 10 years, I'll be honest. That is hard work. But to get us out of the stratosphere to where we were back in 2011, 2012, I don't think that part's hard. And it's because there are three specific errors, mistakes, that the current administration is making that we need to fix. Number one, and when you say, how do people that shouldn't be on the streets get out on the streets? There's three times that that happens. First, it's when they don't get caught in the first place. So 2017, 18, and 19, those 3 years, a couple years ago, there were 1,001 murders in those 3 years, okay? They will tell you that the clearance rate was 50%, 55%. And what they mean by that is they're including people who were suspects in certain murders that then later got killed, right? A suspect in a 2018 murder gets killed in 2021. They consider that murder solved, okay? That's not something to boast about. But if you actually take those 1,001 murders, what percentage of them resulted in an actual arrest? The answer is less than 25%. 23% of them resulted in an actual arrest. So the first mistake is we're not arresting enough killers. You got to solve those cases. Second thing is take the example of Luther Trent. Luther Trent goes in the middle of the night, pours gasoline on his ex-girlfriend's home, lights the house on fire with her and her two roommates inside. Thank God they survive. They cooperate with police. He's immediately identified. They charge him with 3 counts of attempted murder, as well as first-degree arson. And then a few months later, Marilyn Mosby's office, over the objection of the victims and the witnesses, offers him a plea deal so he gets to go home the next day. He gets out on the street after being charged with 3 counts of attempted murder. He pleads to arson and gets to go home. That's a huge problem. And I'll tell you about the end of that story in a minute. But then the third place that happens is you got to arrest the people. You can't give them plea deals. And then the last one is you got to take them to trial and you got to win. These are tough cases. It's a Baltimore City caseload, which is a lot of cases.
Well, hell, when they call me in for a jury duty on that, that's the case I don't really want as a citizen. No, no offense, but like fingering people that were murdering people, that's a difficult thing to do.
You've got witnesses that are reluctant to come forward. You got cops that have 50 other cases on their docket, depending on the kind of detective you are. So the point is that you have to be able to fix things at each of those stages. The prosecutor can work better with police to make more arrests, particularly in homicides, shootings, and carjackings. You can work better with the U.S. Attorney's Office, with the federal agents to make sure that's happening. Second, you can't cut plea deals in violent crime cases where people get to go back on the streets, especially when it's over the objection of the victims and witnesses who put themselves in harm's way to cooperate with you. And third, you got to make sure you've built an office that is taking those cases to trial and winning. With all due respect to my opponents, they were not particularly good prosecutors. They were not particularly good at actually building cases, working with cops, presenting it to a jury, and getting a conviction. That stuff matters. And setting a tone of being a prosecutor goes into trial, even when you're a supervisor, showing that you're not afraid of going to trial, even on a hard case, showing a jury that you're going to show up and that you can actually get a conviction, even in a case that others were reluctant to charge.
Well, that's why you come to a jury, is to put the bad guys away.
That's right.
Right.
And especially the juries in Baltimore City, you have been in the city and don't have any disqualifying convictions. In a city that has arrested a lot of people, you are a relative angel if you get onto a Baltimore City jury, because it means you've never been convicted of a disqualifying crime. And then you actually register to vote, you actually go to jury service, you actually show up in the jury pool. That's a pretty solid citizen. And they don't like crime either. I actually think Baltimore City juries are great. What we have is a problem.
Because they'll lock people up.
They are willing to do a measure of justice in the cases. The prosecutor's got to put the evidence in front of them.
What happened in the end of that case? I don't want to let you dangle that.
No.
I think Luther Trent
goes home. He gets interviewed by a reporter, because we make a lot of noise about it. The victims actually are in contact with me. I agree to be their attorney, pro bono, and we say, this is ridiculous. They're very upset. What went wrong here? And he goes and gives an interview to a reporter and says, on ultimately national television, I can't believe I'm on the streets. The reporter says, what did you think of the plea deal? He says, oh, I thought it was a ridiculous deal. I should be in jail right now. The reporter says, what signal is it sending? Oh, it's sending a terrible signal. It's sending a signal that you can try to kill someone and get away with it. That's the criminal admitting that he did it. He actually explains how he did it. He says it was a Romeo and Juliet situation. He tried to burn his ex-girlfriend's house down. And even
something
after
neither
that,
one of us have ever tried to do.
Got exactly. And you have a situation, absolutely. And here's what you have, which is a situation where that guy is on the streets, knowing in the back of his mind that there are no consequences for his crime. We ended up finding an appellate court decision to go back to the judge and said, Judge, you did this wrong. You needed to hear from the victims before you approved this sentence. And she agreed. And she heard from the victims, and she said, now that I've heard from the victims, I'm not accepting this sentence. And she took him back into custody. His plea offer right now is 22 years in prison. That's the way it should work, and it shouldn't require a private citizen coming out and helping these victims. That's what the prosecutor's supposed to do, but right now they're not doing it.
The Rufik Naraj is here. He is running a... Tell everybody the mouthful for the little checkbox when they get their...
It'll be under State's Attorney for Baltimore City, and you can go to justiceforbaltimore.com to find out more about us.
All right. Thanks for the recommendation, and thanks for making time and coming down and trying to talk about the issues and talk about where you stand on it. And your opponents have also been offered equal time. I think it's maybe the most important thing. Where, you know, all due respect to the controller and the governor and like a state, that, you know, Brian Frost leaving, all these things that are going to move here in the next couple of years. Fixing the city sits, and fixing crime in the city sits at the heart of all of us.
A lot of important offices. A lot of my friends are running for those offices. But if you think crime is the biggest obstacle in Baltimore, then this is the most important election, because there is no one, and I mean no one, who can do more about violent crime in the short term than the state's attorney for Baltimore City. And if you want a prosecutor in that role, I'm very, very proud to be your candidate.
All right. Well, if they're out hurting people, lock them up. That's all. That's all I want as a citizen. Right?
I heard a citizen say to us yesterday. I got to give her credit because I'm going to steal her quote. She said, "If you repeat, you don't belong on the street." That's a pretty good.
There you go.
Philosophy. So,
all right. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Vegan crab cake. Yes. Yum yum sauce. Yes, yes, yes. Tartar sauce. You know, I'm not a tartar guy, but it's a delicious tartar. It's a fresh tartar. And anybody that's taken a crack at a tartar that doesn't come out of one of those little mayonnaise packets like at Dundalk and Woodlawn High School. Can't believe we ate that fish sticks.
Twice
terrible. A day. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Everything we're doing here on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, even when it's a vegan crab cake, it's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We got Betty Boop scratch-off tickets we've been giving away. New on the docket, we are going to be at Black Swan next Thursday. Special lunchtime. Not open to the public because they're open for dinner, but we're going to promote their crab cake as well. My dear friend Jamil McLean. And then on Friday, we are back out in Timonium and Nick's Grandstand Grill, the OTB. Do a little residue off the Preakness this week. We got Preakness, Adley Rutschman, PGA Championship. I mean, I haven't talked about the Ravens in like 48 hours. It's incredible. Maybe they'll get a wide receiver. I'm Nestor. We are WNST. Back for more from the land of Kush. We're down here in beautiful Baltimore City. I'll be back here on Monday night for The Ravens celebration at the Meyerhoff as well. Back for more down here. Kirby Fowler will join us next from the Maryland Zoo and Brew at the Zoo. By the way, I'm doing 31 crab cakes in August, and I did 30 last year, and I figured out what was missing. I got thirsty. We're going to do 31 breweries this summer.
I love it. There you go.
They told me there's 142 breweries in the state of Maryland. I'm going to investigate that. We're back for more from downtown right after this on Baltimore Positive.